Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Today is March 5th. Here with our last episode of our little mini-series on some of the baseball preview shows. I'm here with Roscoe, as always. Just going to do a little awards previews, playoff picture looks. And I'll leave this up one up to you, Roscoe. What do you want to start with first? Playoff picture and then awards, or awards first?
I say we start off with a little playoff picture, and then that would pretty much close the season and leave us at the awards. So I say we start with the playoff picture.
All right. Well, let's start, Roscoe. First off, in the NL, who did you have as your two wild cards?
Well, my two wild cards were the Giants and Pirates.
All right.
And then out of that wild card game, I had the Pirates moving on to face one of the three divisional winners. My three divisional winners were the Cardinals, Dodgers, and Nationals, and the Pirates being the fourth team in that group.
Beating the deadly Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, that happened last year, but I don't think it'll happen again.
You know, that would be a hell of a pitching matchup. A healthy
Garrett Cole
versus
Cole and Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, that would be a fun one.
I mean, it was a good game last year, too.
They started Edison Volquez that game.
Oh, wait, no.
Do you realize that?
Was it Volquez or Liriano?
I believe it was Volquez. Didn't they pitch Liriano the day before?
Maybe so. I'm not sure.
I'm just because I remember Clint Hurdle.
I'm trying to think about that game from last year, and I think I remember it. Didn't, like, the Giants jump out to a 4-0 lead? And after that, it was
Liriano. I don't remember. I'm acting like I'm so confident that it was Edison Volquez. I'm trying to remember. I remember Brandon Crawford hit Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's I think that happened early in the game, and that just kind of got the wheels rolling for last year's
Edison
matchup.
Edison Volquez did start, which was interesting, because that didn't make any sense. I remember they picked him over Francisco Liriano, which didn't make much sense to me at the time. And, Volquez, that's what happened. I believe Volquez gave up two singles and walked, load the bases, and Brandon Crawford hit Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bad game overall. That was a terrible game to follow that amazing game in the AL that we talked about last season.
Yeah.
But, and you have them moving on to play who, the Dodgers?
The Dodgers is the one seed.
Okay. And how do you have your NLDS playing out between Los Angeles and Pittsburgh?
I have the Dodgers moving on between them and Pittsburgh, and then I have the Cardinals moving on between them and the Nationals.
And who do you have winning, Los Angeles or St. Louis in the NLCS?
And the NL champion for me is the Dodgers. I believe this year's finally their year to do something in the playoffs. They're going to get their matchup that they've been struggling with in the past years. I feel like finally they'll get over that hump and do something in the playoffs.
All right. And I did have the same NL pennant winner in the Dodgers. So I guess I'll be agreeing with you. I just think this year is their year. I feel like they got to be playing with a chip on their shoulder, especially Clayton Kershaw. He never gives the media any trouble until last year. After that NLCS, he was not the NLCS, NLDS. He was very just shocked and angry, and I think it's just time for them to get over it. Yasiel Puig had a bad second half. I think he's going to improve a lot. They're going to have a really good team, and I think this is going to be their year as well. My wild card game in the NL was a little bit different. I had Miami, San Francisco, which is a long shot. I mean, I had Miami finishing second wild card with San Francisco getting the first one. And I have Miami winning that game because the idea of Jose Fernandez going up against Madison Bumgarner makes me really excited. And Jose Fernandez would get the job done. They would move on to play L.A., which they would lose. And then we have the same thing going on where I'd have St. Louis beating Washington. And then I would have L.A. beating St. Louis. I just think St. Louis is not going to be as deep in the rotation this year. I feel like they're going to rely too much on Michael Wacha and Lance Lynn. They're going to probably give the five spot to a rookie in Carlos Martinez, and I just don't know if they're going to be strong enough to win a divisional series against possibly one of the best rotations in baseball aside from Washington. And Washington, I can just chuck it up to, they're going to choke. They just cannot play in the playoffs. I don't know why. They don't hit well in the playoffs, and they really don't pitch well in the playoffs. And, after Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, they're going to be down to maybe not even Jordan Zimmermann, because I'm a believer that they might trade Jordan Zimmermann before the end of the trade deadline. He's due a big contract next year, and I don't know if they're going to want to pay it or just try to get something for him. So I don't even know if Jordan Zimmermann's going to be with that team, but I just don't see them doing anything. In the AL, Roscoe, who are your wild cards?
My wild cards in the AL were both Sox, the White Sox and the Red Sox. Coming out of that, I had the White Sox winning the wild card game. Moving on to face the Angels in the AL. So the ALDS broke up into Tigers versus Orioles and Angels versus White Sox. I had the White Sox winning against the Angels, the Tigers beating out Baltimore, and then the Tigers and White Sox facing off in the ALCS. With that being said, I had the Tigers winning the AL.
All right. What do you see in Detroit that tells you that they're going to make the World Series? Because I don't even have them in the playoffs.
Well, going back to the American League show that we did, I feel like they're going to win the division. With that being said, I feel like the winner of the division from the American League Central is going to make the World Series. No matter who it be, Kansas City, Chicago, even Cleveland, I feel like any of those teams can make the World Series. What I like about Detroit, and I'll say it again, is once they get to the playoffs, and I feel like Justin Verlander is going to have a bounce back year. I've said that the whole time previewing baseball, these three shows. I feel like he's going to have a bounce back year. Big fan of David Price. With that being said, them two in the postseason, I believe, are very deadly. And I do like their lineup a little more than the other teams in the AL. So I like their lineup more, and I like their 1-2 punch in their starting rotation.
All right. Do you see them running into any injury bugs, specifically with Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera, who both are coming off of Martinez is coming off of a meniscus, and Cabrera is coming off of a lingering ankle injury. Do you think those injuries are going to affect them? And if they get affected by those injuries, do you think that's going to cause them to not only not make the World Series, but not even make the playoffs?
Well, I'll say this because I have the same view for any team when it comes to injuries. When it comes to injuries, any team can be affected by them. The White Sox can be affected. The other teams in this playoff matchups that I have can be affected. But as you say, if they are affected by those injuries, Martinez and Cabrera, or if anybody else on the team has injuries, it can definitely set the team back. And like I said on the AL preview show, if they aren't healthy or if they do have setbacks that, you know, I don't see in the future or I don't see right now, then they might not make the playoffs, to answer your question. So, yes, if the lingering injuries and if they do run into an injury bug midway through the year or at some point in the year, I can see them not making the playoffs because I do believe the AL Central is going to be a close division, a very tough fight. And if you're without Miguel Cabrera for 3 weeks, or if you're without Victor Martinez or J.D. Martinez for 3 weeks and, you know, the latter part of the year, the middle part of the year, then you're really going to struggle with that because you can't afford to go, you know, 2 games on the 500 or a 500 record in the division because at any certain point, one of those other four contending teams can get hot. And that could knock you out of the playoff race. So, yes, I can definitely see it affecting them. However, right now, I don't see it affecting them because I believe they'll be healthy at opening day, and we'll see as the year goes on.
Well, do you think they have a higher risk? I mean, I know what you said was, I mean, like any team can face injuries. I understand that. But do you think there's a higher risk involving them? Because like I said, Victor Martinez is 36 years old. Miggy's 32. Verlander's 32. Anibal Sanchez is even 32 years old. You know, do you think, and David Price is even up there in age, do you think someone like Verlander, who was running in injury bugs last year, and like I said, Victor Martinez is just got surgery, and Miguel Cabrera hasn't even ran yet this spring, do you think they're at a higher risk?
I mean, you can easily say they're at a higher risk because of their age, but I mean, we don't know their bodies. We don't know the players to say that they will be injured. However, I do agree that, you know, they can be at higher risk. But I'm going to fall back on what I said earlier. I believe they're going to win the AL Central. I believe the team who wins the AL Central is going to make the World Series. So come the end of the year, and if I have the AL Central division winner picked wrong, and it is the White Sox or it is the Royals or the Indians, you know, I would peg that team into the World Series because I'm going to stay with my statement saying that the team who wins the AL Central will be in the World Series. So, I mean, that's what I'm going off of.
All right. Fair. Well, in my AL wildcard game, I have the Angels beating the Cleveland Indians, which moves them ahead to play the number one seeded Chicago White Sox. And then on the other side of the bracket, I have the Boston Red Sox playing the Mariners. I could see the White Sox beating LA. LA's pitching, I don't think, will be deep enough in the postseason. We saw it last year. Mm-hmm. Their pitching was not deep enough at all to beat Kansas City. And it's happened in the past, too. They really need to get a grasp on starting pitching over there. So I see Chicago winning that series. I think Chicago is going to have possibly the best three in the postseason in Quintana, Samardzija, and Chris Sale. And I see Boston losing to Seattle because of Seattle's big three pitching. I think any time you throw Felix Hernandez in a game one of the series, which would be his first ever postseason appearance, I think he would excel, followed by Iwakuma. And then you have your choice of possibly James Paxton or Taijuan Walker. So I see the ALCS being a little bit of a kind of a Cinderella group in the White Sox in Seattle. And I have Chicago winning this. So that would put it to be an LA Dodgers Chicago White Sox World Series on my end. And I'd just like to say, Roscoe, I know you're going to agree with me. We're both probably going to be really wrong. Is that fair to say?
I can easily see us being wrong.
Because
I mean, these types of things
you don't
are just
know baseball.
So hard to predict. And,
yeah. Like,
you know,
the
you
Royals
don't know
last
what's
going
to happen. Yeah, I mean, who was going to expect the two wildcard teams to move on to the World Series last year? And who is going to expect the Royals to win the AL wildcard game come the seventh inning of last year's game? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with this game. I think it's easy to say that we're going to be wrong about a lot of things doing these preview shows, but it's fun because, you know, you get to go back and say, wow, didn't see that happening or didn't see that coming. So, I mean, it's fun to do, but, I mean, I can easily see us being very wrong. And if we are right, hey, we're a bunch of wizards, but if we're wrong, you know, we knew it was a far shot.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at my pick, and I'm like, wow, I really think the Dodgers and the White Sox are going to make the playoffs, I mean, the World Series. Well, I do, because I think the White Sox starting pitching is phenomenal. I think the Dodgers starting pitching is phenomenal. I think the Dodgers lineup is phenomenal. I think the White Sox lineup is well constructed. I don't think it's phenomenal, but it's really well constructed with Alexi Ramirez, Adam Eaton, and Jose Abreu most likely in your top three or order, you know, followed by a power guy who gets on base and Adam Roach with Melky Cabrera, with Connor Gillespie, who's very underrated. I think they have a really good lineup, and I could just see these two teams meeting up, which I could be completely wrong. The White Sox could fall on their face and not even make the playoffs, and it wouldn't surprise me. You know, on the other side,
I mean,
Miami probably won't make the playoffs. I mean, I'm just going off of what I can feel and what I think. There's so much to not predict. But what were you going to say, Roscoe?
I was going to say, I mean, I think the best pick we have made, and the one that probably makes the most sense, is the Dodgers making it to the World
yes.
Series. I think a lot of people can agree with that and see that. But, I mean, we're both taking, I mean, I'm not going to
shot from the dark.
We're both going out on a limb here saying that the White Sox or the Tigers are going to make the World Series. Because, I mean, when you start to think about it, yes, you can find some things you like about a team. But when you start really analyzing and looking at it, it's pretty easy, you know, to find a flaw in a team as well. So, I mean, that's all I wanted to say. I mean, if you think about it and keep thinking about it, you know, you're going to start doubting it. But, I mean, I think we can easily agree that the Dodgers pick is probably the best pick to make.
Are there any teams that we didn't put in the playoffs that you think could surprise the world and be the Royals from last year? Or at least from your end and my end?
I think the
like
way I'm looking at it,
right?
I think the way I'm looking at it, I'll pick two. I'll pick an NL and an AL team. The NL team, I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
You know, they have a lot of young talent, but if the young talent plays the way they're expected to, I mean, if the young talent exceeds that's expectations for this year and goes out and plays like a really young group that knows the game and knows each other and how to play, I can see them making the playoffs. And then for the AL, I think the Cleveland Indians could be a surprise team. I mean, I really think I can see the Cleveland Indians being the Kansas City Royals of last year. I mean, they have a really nice lineup, and then the pitching staff isn't too bad to go with it. So two teams would be the Cubs in the NL and then the AL, the Indians.
See, in the NL for me, and when I think of Royals of last year, I think of a team who's not going to be expected to do it, going to do anything. They're going to wind up doing it anyway. I can't go Cubs yet because I think the Cubs are just slightly too young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just, like, think they're just too young. I think next year is going to be their year. I think I've told you that 2016 is what you need to look forward to. But I do agree with you though. If their young talent comes up and they all play how they're supposed to, if Dexter Fowler can get on base and Chris Conley can spun him over for Anthony Rizzo, I mean, if they could play effective small ball and play well, sure, I could see the Cubs doing something. But if I had to pick an NL team, I know I did pick them for the wild card, but I think to come out of nowhere is the Marlins. You don't have them picked anywhere. No one does. I think they could be a Kansas City Royals as well. Out of the AL, I'm going to have to agree with you and say the Cleveland Indians. Because if they're a young veteran pitching steps up, I mean, Trevor Bauer has been in the league for 2 years. If he finally makes it happen and Carlos Carrasco makes it happen and Danny Salazar makes it happen, those three guys behind Corey Kluber, that's real scary. So I definitely agree with your Cleveland Indians prediction as well. Who do you have winning the World Series?
World Series, between the Dodgers and Tigers, I'm going with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think we both said it. I feel like this is their year to do something, and I feel like once they get on a roll in the playoffs, and I'm talking, I'm expecting Kershaw to come out there in that game one when he steps on the bump against whoever they face against, the Pirates, I believe. That's who it would be. I feel like once he gets out there in that game one, it's going to be just mowing them down, flat out, no jitters, and probably pitches one of the best games of his career because there are so many doubters and there was so many questions asked after last year. You know, I feel like he's going to be pumped up. I feel like Puig's going to be pumped up because let's not forget, he played two games, goes 0-for-8, and then gets benched. So he's got something to play for this whole year because what's in the back of his mind is being benched in the playoffs. And then once he gets to the playoffs, I feel like, you know, they're going to have that thought in their head. They're going to get it rolling, and then they're just going to keep on going. And I really don't see them slowing down. So that's why I had them winning the World Series.
I do have to agree with you. I do pick the Los Angeles Dodgers over the Chicago White Sox in the World Series. A game which will be played in Chicago. I think U.S. Cellular will host game one. Because I could just see that happening, but I agree with you completely. Clayton Kershaw goes out game one, pitches a gem, and then pitches again in game four, and then he's used on short rest in possible game seven or game six, which they've done before, and he's been successful in 3 days rest. He's just a great pitcher, the best in the game by far, best at locating his fastballs, his off-speed. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder this year, and I expect him to do amazing things again. I don't see him slowing down at all. The guy's still 26 years old, 25 maybe. I think he's 26, about to be 27. You got to understand, he's 5 years younger than Miguel Cabrera. He has many years left in this league, and I think this is going to be their year. I think Puig's going to step up, like you said, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Jimmy Rollins wants a World Series ring. He wants another World Series ring. You know, there's just a lot for that team to play for, and I think this year can be their year. A lot of good young talent on the team. Yasmani Grandal, Jock Pedersen. I think it's just going to be their year to shine, and I can see them doing it as well. And I would not be opposed to seeing a freeway series, World Series. So feel free to get to the World Series, Los Angeles Angels, because that would be exciting as well. I mean, I wish Trout hit leadoff Clayton Kershaw against Mike Trout. That would be a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
But So yeah, I could see the Dodgers winning it. I really don't think I'll ever stray away from that. And you know,
I
honestly,
mean,
I could
they're
see
the.
the Washington, I could see the Nationals doing it too, honestly. And I don't like the Nationals, but their pitching rotation is just disgusting. I mean, why do you think the Nationals get roadblocked in the World Series? I mean, in the playoffs, Roscoe.
You know, it's just the past years, the things that have, you know, the way they've played in the postseason, it seems like they never get anything to click, and I mean, they're just not going to have a good matchup if they face the Cardinals. I mean, they're going to face a team with lots of experience, a really deep, good lineup, and then they're going to have to face pitchers like Wainwright and Joaquin Lynn. I mean, those are three stud starters in my opinion. I think, I mean, average to above average starters who get the job done in the postseason. With that being said, you know, just the experience, that's why I think the Nationals are going to just fall through and not make it past the first round this year. And I wouldn't say it's going to be as much of a choke this year as just them losing to the better team and them, you know, not having the experience or the managerial standpoint to win that series.
I agree with you as well. I mean, it's just funny, you know, last year they were the number one seed. People forget that. They always do well in the regular season, then they get to the postseason. It's just like they hit a brick wall. As we move on to the awards, I guess we'll start off with the biggest one of them all, NL and AL MVP. And I'm curious if we have different opinions on who's going to win this award. Roscoe, who do you think wins AL and NL MVP?
Well, the AL MVP, Mike Trout, and then
Okay.
the NL MVP, Yasiel Puig.
Wow, we wow, okay. I like that. Can you explain why Yasiel Puig?
I just feel like he's gonna put up more and better numbers this year. Really, like I mean, I feel like this year he's gonna just have more opportunity to shine. I can't say breakout because once he stepped on the scene, he's always been that guy. But he's gonna have more opportunities to impact the game, hitting in the three hole, I feel. And then I feel like the NL MVP should go to the best player on the best team. However, I know maybe you'd say NL MVP going to Clayton Kershaw. I can't see them doing that 2 years in a row, giving him the Cy Young and the MVP. I guess I kind of just spoiled my NL Cy Young pick, but if you're gonna go
Oh
against that
wow,
guy, then that's
you picked Clayton Kershaw to win the Cy Young? That's a shock.
yeah.
Jeez, Roscoe,
But
you ruined it.
but anyways, I just, you know, I feel like Yasiel Puig is gonna have his best year this year because of the opportunity he's gonna have hitting in the three hole. And like I said, I feel like he's gonna have a spark underneath him. He's gonna play for more. He's gonna play for something this year because he has that memory of being benched in the playoffs last year. I just feel like that's gonna ignite him. And I mean, I've been a Puig believer since the first show we did. I think I named him as my fantasy MVP. So if I'm gonna name him as my fantasy MVP, I think I have to go with him for my NL MVP. With that being said, I believe he's gonna have his best year in his career this year, just because the opportunity he's gonna be given, and I mean, I feel like he's gonna come through. So Yasiel Puig for NL MVP.
All right. Well, it's funny you say that. I did have Puig as like a dark horse for my NL MVP, but I didn't pull the trigger. My AL MVP is gonna be Mike Trout because he does everything. I don't really think there's much to say about Mike Trout.
Besides, he's probably the best player in AL. I mean, there's
yes,
nothing really to say, I
best
think.
player in the, he's the best player in the major leagues right now. I'm not going to take that away from him.
So,
NL MVP,
wait,
what's up?
when
I
you
do think
say
he's the
he's
best
the
in majors.
best player in the major leagues, are you including Kershaw in that decision? Are you...
Well, I'm a firm believer in...
Or are you separating it like he's the best player and Kershaw's
well,
the best pitcher?
Yes and no. I don't like saying best player in really any sport. Because, I mean, like, let's say someone says Chris Paul, like, someone is the best basketball player. It's like, how are you going to compare the best point guard to the best small forward center? It's just, it doesn't make sense for me. Who brings more value to a team? Mike Trout or Clayton Kershaw? I haven't really thought of that discussion. That would be a good one to have. But I mean, I'll look at it. I mean, Mike Trout is the best hitter in the league now. I was a believer in Miguel Cabrera. I just think, for some reason, I feel like injuries are going to blow him down. It depends if he has a breakout year. But Miguel Cabrera really is a great hitter. But I just think Mike Trout's the best all-around player and brings a huge amount of value to that team. But anyway, for NL MVP, I have Clayton Kershaw winning it again, along with the Cy Young. I just feel like this is going to be a huge year for him, and he's going to be the workhorse for the Dodgers to get to the World Series. I'm talking, this guy's going to throw 9 innings a lot, and he's going to win games for his team. And I feel like he's going to have another 20-plus win season, and he's going to get the MVP again. I feel like there's no reason not to give it to the man. You know, it also lies on what Andrew McCutchen does in Pittsburgh. I think he'd be a big part of it if he can lead Pittsburgh to the playoffs and maybe an NL Central title, all while hitting 320 plus, stealing 20 bases, hitting 30 home runs, something like that. I could see McCutchen winning it again. But Clayton Kershaw would have to be my prediction.
I can agree with that. And, you know, I just felt like they weren't going to give him both awards this year. However, I did have one dark horse in my NL MVP, and I kind of want to get your opinion on this and, like, see if you are right there with me and kind of can see it happening. How do you feel about Matt Carpenter possibly winning the NL MVP? Like, do you think it's a possibility?
Really.
Is he a dark horse, or do you think just the Cardinals win by too much teamwork and he's not?
He's definitely a dark horse because I don't think he'll win it, and he's not going to be predicted to win it. My problem with Matt Carpenter is last year was a huge drop-off for him. 2013 was his year to where he really backpacked the Cardinals, honestly. You know, he had 200 hits. He scored 130 runs. You know, he had 11 home runs, 80 RBIs as a leadoff man. Hit 320 and had a 400 OBP. You know, people forget he was fourth in MVP voting. And then last year came along and he just didn't have as big as a year. He had a really good year. I mean, he was a player at once. Mm-hmm. You know, he only hit 270, 375 OBP. So I would say he's very much so a dark horse just because I don't see him winning it. And it would just depend on what goes on around him. I mean, he would have to have another freak year. He would have to lead the NL in hits. He'd have to lead the NL in OBP. He'd have to lead the NL in average. He'd really have to have almost like a Jose Altuve type year. And I thought Jose Altuve was really what Jose Altuve did last year was huge, but he wasn't on a team. He was on the Astros, and he didn't get really looked at. I'm curious. I mean, he finished 13th in the MVP voting, but the guy had 230 hits, scored 90 runs, stole 56 bases, hit 340 with a 380 OBP. I mean, that's MVP caliber, in my opinion. He pretty much did everything for a team, except hit home runs. So, you know, I guess I don't see Matt Carpenter's dark horse now.
I was just, you know, trying to get an opinion on it, because, I mean, if he does have a year like 2013, I feel like he can definitely...
Oh, yeah. He puts up those numbers again, definitely. He'd be considered.
I mean, I don't see how
he
didn't
win
it in 2013 after you listed his numbers. I mean...
That was McCutcheon, right?
Yeah. That was McCutcheon's year. I mean, McCutcheon's going to be in it every year, though.
Was well-deserving, right? I mean, what did he do in 2013? He 97 runs scored, 185 hits. He hit 21 homers, 85 RBIs, 30 stolen bases, 320, and a 400 OBP. I mean, like you said, what did he do in 2013? He led them to the NLDS. That's what they look for. You know, they look for someone who can do that. You know, you look at Kershaw last year, and they say, wow, the guy missed a month of baseball, and he still managed to go 21-3 with a 177 ERA. Oh, and he also threw a no-hitter in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they look at it, Roscoe. And, I mean, that's how they look at it in
the
NFL.
It's the big moments, you know, the big moments that capture the eye. Those are really those MVP moments. I mean, like you're looking at right now in the basketball race, I mean, I'm going to compare it because we talk in awards, but every award winner has their storyline or their story that they create. And I'm agreeing with you, you know, that, yeah, Kershaw had his storyline last year. He misses a month of baseball and then goes on and has a 20-plus win season, one of the most dominant pitching year performances that we've seen in probably 10 years, I would say. And, you know, that was his storyline. And you're seeing it right now in basketball. I'm just comparing basketball and this to, because we're talking about awards.
You're at, like, how it compares.
Like I'm just comparing it that, you know, like you said, you know, you were talking about the storyline with McCutcheon, you know, doing this and carrying his team to NLDS, and Kershaw doing what he did last year, you know, missing the month, then coming back really strong, and then leading his team to the playoffs. And, you know, I feel like storylines are a lot with awards.
They are. I mean, look at J.J. Watt. He didn't, I mean, if J.J. Watt leads his team to the wild card or leads his team to the playoffs, I mean, does he win the award? You never know.
I would actually guarantee that he wins the award.
You know, I mean, if, the Thunder are going to get the 8 or 7 seed, the Pelicans are doing all they can.
You're going to look back on what Russell Westbrook did without KD and the streak that he's putting on right now with the triple doubles. You know, that's things you're going to look back on.
So, be an interesting look on awards. Who do you have winning the AL Cy Young? I think the NL Cy Young already has its name etched in, so we'll just ask for AL Cy Young. Who wins AL Cy Young? And I kind of feel like we might have the same answer for this. Who you got?
Well, AL Cy Young, I have Felix Hernandez, and if you're having the Mariners win the division in the AL West, I think you have to have Felix Hernandez, because with that being said, he's going to have a great year. He was worthy of winning it last year, I thought. I mean, both him and Corey Kluber were worthy. I'm not saying he got snubbed by Corey Kluber. I'm just saying that he was worthy enough. However, this year, you know, I think he will win it. I think he's just going to have another dominant year. He's 28 years old, which is just incredible to me, because he's been in the league for 10 years. I mean, 10-plus years, I think. And just what he's doing is incredible. And, I mean, he's not slowing down. He just continues to push. I see him winning 17, 18 games this year. Sub 2.5 ERA, 200-plus strikeouts. You know, he's going to be the workhorse for the Mariners. And, like I'm saying, if you have the Mariners winning that division, I think we're agreeing on this AL Cy Young.
I'm really surprised he didn't win it last year. I really don't know how he didn't.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised, too. He's very worthy of it. And, I mean, so was Corey Kluber, but, I mean, he didn't win it, so maybe now he'll come out and do even better and win it this year. So, I mean, you can throw that into the conversation, too, fam, winning it.
I mean, yeah, I just didn't get it. And I do not have Felix Hernandez winning it, but you do make a great point. For the Mariners to win that division, Felix has to put up Cy Young numbers. But don't forget,
I forgot about your other pick as well.
You know, who do I have winning the AL Central?
Yeah.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
And for the White Sox to win the AL Central, they need Chris Sale to basically pitch like he did last year. I mean, he could have won the Cy Young last year. He was just hurt with a shoulder injury, which he missed some starts. So, I mean, he only went 12-4 last year. You know, but you got to remember, if you think of what he did last year, he made 26 starts, so he made 8 less starts than Felix. So, I mean, if Chris Sale makes those 8 starts, he probably wins the Cy Young. His ERA was at a scary 2.17. You know, he struck out 208 people in 26 starts, which, if I do the math, that's a lot per start. I mean, it's scary. I think he's great. You know, for the past 3 years, he's finished 6th, 5th, and 3rd in the Cy Young running. And I think really it's his time. I think he's going to take this year by storm. He was quoted today saying he's not going to let this injury hold him back. He's going to be strong this year. He's determined that this team is something great. I think this is going to be his year to shine. He came in 5th in Cy Young in 2013, and he finished 11-14. I mean, the kid can throw the ball. He's finally got an offense behind him. His win total is going to be easily above 16, and he's going to strike out 210-plus people at the minimum. I think Kluber struck out 289 last year.
Jesus. Maybe that's why he won.
I think he did. Corey Kluber struck out a big amount, but I could see Chris Sale doing the same thing. So I see this is going to be Chris Sale's year. And just for statistics, Corey struck out 269 last year. So that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of people. Felix Hernandez struck out 250. Still should have won the Cy Young, though.
Mm-hmm.
But now for my favorite award preview. ALNL Rookies of the Year. Roscoe, who you got winning the Rookies of the Year?
AL Rookie of the Year, I'm going to give it to Andrew Heaney out in Los Angeles. I figure he's going to be, 4 or 5 starter over there. I think he's going to have a solid year. He's going to have an offense behind him to get him some wins. Really like his stuff. I see him winning the AL Rookie of the Year. Just kind of going off and trying to make a random pick here with him. And then NL Rookie of the Year, the obvious Chris Bryant pick. I expect him to be there on opening day.
Not as obvious as a pick as you might think.
I expect him to be there on opening day, and if he is, I just don't see any other rookie putting up a.
Then you're obviously forgetting about somebody.
If you say the guy out in right field does, then
Wait,
I'm
what?
like
The guy
maybe.
out in right field?
Yeah.
Who's in right field?
But
What do you mean? Oh, no,
Soler.
I'm not talking Jorge. You're forgetting about
Right.
somebody. Or you're, well, I think it's definitely going to be Kyle Schwarber. I don't know about you.
No,
Did
he
you see the
won't. But
video? Did you see the video of that Grand Slam?
yeah, complete bomb.
Does Kyle Schwarber not look like a clone of Eric Hinsky? I'm being honest. He looks like Eric Hinsky.
I was thinking the same thing. You know, he's got a little
left-handed hitter, got a little weight
yeah.
on him. Looks like a power guy. Looks like Eric Hinsky.
He does. I mean.
Not a bad comparison. I'm a big Eric Hinsky fan.
You know, I'm upset that he's not the first base coach anymore in Chicago.
Did he leave Chicago or is he still there?
No, he's still
he's
there,
a coach
but
somewhere.
He's
He is? Okay.
He's like a hitting coach now or something. I don't believe he's at first base anymore.
All right. Well, I was actually very excited with your AL pick. I as well picked Andrew Heaney. Really good talent, got a little taste of the majors last year. Definitely, you know, has an idea of what's going on. He's going to have an offense behind him. He's going to get some runs. He's going to look very impressive over there. I think that's a pretty safe bet in the American League. I think, you know, he throws in the upper 90s, got a good breaking ball, real good changeup. Comparing him to almost like a James Paxton when James Paxton is fully healthy. They're both tall and lengthy, so I really like that pick. I think Andrew Heaney's going to have a great year over there, which it, and I still believe that if he would have stayed in Los Angeles, that the whole NL would have been lit on fire in the next 2 years. Because Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw, Ryu, and Andrew Heaney is not a bad little group. But I do think it's Eric Andrew Heaney. And for my NL pick, I'm going with a guy who pretty much does have the starting job already written in his name. Definitely Jock Pettersson in L.A., your 2014 PCL MVP. He was the first person in minor league history to hit 30 home runs, steal 30 bases, while leading the minors in runs, home runs, walks, OBP, and on base and slugging. He's just phenomenal. You know, he's ranked as the 8th best prospect by Baseball America, which is interesting to me. A real fast guy, but he's also got home run potential. You know, in the minors, he played 5 years in the minors. He's played since he was 18. You know, through the 5 years in the minors, he's got 85 home runs, 300 RBIs, stolen 115 bases, 400 OBP, hit 302, and he does have the starting role. Andre Ethier has declared for a trade. And this is just, he's going to go along with what they're doing in L.A. They're going to have the fastest outfield in baseball, probably with Puig, who's going to steal 15-plus bases, possibly. Pettersson, who has the potential to steal 25-plus, with Carl Crawford, who can steal 10-plus. He's kind of gotten chubby, but, you know, that's Carl, you know, just being Carl. I really like Jock Pettersson a lot. I'm currently trying to trade CC. If you're listening, please give me Jock Pettersson. I really want him on my fantasy team. So I really see Jock Pettersson doing it. And I love Chris Bryant to death. You know that, Roscoe. I think if Chris Bryant does get his opening day nod, I think it's going to be probably the most intense rookie of the year battle we've ever seen. I will be pumped for it. Because
I mean,
Jock Pettersson and Chris Bryant are beasts. And for them to potentially both be opening day starters is great for minor leaguers and the MLB everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not on Jock Pettersson, get on him, because I love Chris Bryant. I promise, I'm so excited for him to get to the league, but I'm just really excited to see what this kid can do. Plus, I do have a feeling that he is going to be a guaranteed starter. The Cubs, I feel like you said in your other preview show, you did mention that they could let Chris Bryant sit in the minors for that extra contract year, which could be big for them.
It would
They
only
might
be
not
2 weeks
start
that he
him.
sits. That he would
Okay.
sit. He would be the latest he would be up is I believe I think I had the date marked down. The latest he would be up would be April 22nd, I believe. Because the
Well,
season starts on the 5th. He would only miss the first 2 weeks. But I
yeah,
mean,
and I just
once the Cubs do get the contract year, they're not going to just sit them in minor league for fun and give, the people in Iowa something to watch. I mean, they're going to call him up. But I have a feeling he's going to be
you
in the
gotta
lineup
hope
for
that.
opening day.
I mean, I hope
I
that too. I just don't know if I see it yet, because I mean, I hope they do. He's ready. The kid's ready. And I just feel like Chris Bryant
I'm
is in his. This is going to be his third year, correct?
last year was his first full year. This is going to be his second year.
Okay, he's 23. He just turned 23. Because he did play in college.
Because,
This is really, it's really hard to pick this. I mean,
he
this is
played at
really
San
hard.
Diego. I mean, the main reason I picked it is because I've seen Chris Bryant play. I mean,
I have
I've
too.
seen
It's not
his.
like I haven't
I
seen the
mean,
guy play. I mean, I saw
like,
him play too, Roscoe. I mean, and I'm also looking at the fact that he hit in 60 games, he hit 360 with 22 home runs, 60 RBIs. I mean, and he is the number one prospect. He's seven throws over Jock Pettersson.
I mean,
I just
I mean, I'm just saying that's why I picked them. I mean.
I know, but I'm trying to argue with myself and letting you listen to my argument with myself on why I think it's going to be really hard to pick these two guys. Like really
All
hard,
right.
because I think these two guys right here are going to really make an impact on this league, especially. But again, I don't know, because Pettersson touched the major leagues last year. He had 20 at bats last year, and what did he do? He went 3 for 20. He did really bad. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. He's looked great in his first two games. I think he's hitting 750. But Chris Bryant, he's ready as well. It's going to be a dogfight for Rookie of the Year, people. Chris Bryant and Pettersson are going to fight each other in a midseason brawl in L.A. You heard it here first. I'm just joking. Chris seems like a really
A
nice
mid-season
gentleman.
brawl for the Rookie of the Year award. That would be a
Yeah,
show.
but Chris is a real nice fellow. So I think he's nice. He's a nice man. So.
He's a nicer guy than others. We'll say that.
Manager of the year, Roscoe. Who are your managers of the year?
Manager of the year, going with the two. I mean, I'm going with Clint Hurdle with the Pirates because I mean they're going to be back in the playoffs. I really think they're going to be the team from the NL to kind of shock them. Really, I mean I wouldn't even say shock them because I mean they've been there before, but I just think Clint Hurdle's going to do a good job with this team. And then the AL, I think we can agree on this, Robin Ventura getting the White Sox to the
Yes.
playoffs if it pans out. And with that team, winning 87 games, probably even more, and making the playoffs, that really can, make him the manager of the year.
I also had Robin Ventura, as you figured. Out of the NL, though, I do have Mike Redmond winning the award. Just because I think he's turning Miami around, helping them turn everything around. So I could see Mike Redmond winning the award, even though I don't really particularly think he's an all that great of a manager. But I think time will tell with that. You know, if he could turn that team into anything, and how they handle the Jose Fernandez situation. But I can see that team finishing over 500 this year and really making an impact. You know, Matt Latos, Henderson Alvarez, Jose Fernandez, Jarek Cozart, Darren Herron isn't a terrible five starter, especially in that big of a ballpark. So I can see the Marlins becoming something this year, as I've already said, and I can see Mike Redmond winning that award. And just some other notes for anyone listening. Hunter Pence is probably going to be out 2 to 3 months with a broken forearm.
Yeah. Got hit with a pitch in the spring training game against the Cubs today. They
Who
said,
threw it,
do
you know?
Corey Black. Corey Black was the pitcher on the mound.
Have you seen anything out of the early spring training games that have surprised you or stood out? I mean, it might be random. It's probably there's really not much, but I'm just curious if you have an answer.
I mean, just today, you know, I wasn't expecting Kyle Schwarber to hit a grand slam in his first at bat on his first pitch, I believe, that he's ever seen of a Major League Baseball. I mean, I knew from what I've heard coming through the pipeline and, you know, Chicago Cubs beat reporters, you know, Brett Taylor in particular, they were all talking about how good he was. And, I mean, this was like the first time you got to see him go up against Major League pitching, other Major League guys, and he hits a grand slam first at bat off of Ryan Vogelson, and he's 22 years old. I mean, that just, that's what shocked me. I mean, I didn't see that coming, and I mean, today was honestly my first day really, like, watching all the spring training games, because, you know, today was the first day where there was split squad games, and there was a lot of teams, I mean, I think every team was playing today. No teams were playing colleges or universities. It was all Major League teams going up against each other. So today was the first day I really got to pay any attention. And that was the thing that caught my eye the most. Maybe because I'm a Cubs fan, or, I mean, that was just pretty big, I thought.
My only I guess surprise is not surprise. I did pick him as one of my fantasy sleepers. Is Marcus Semien. In his first two spring training starts, he's a combined 5 for 5, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. He's looking really good, so that was a nice thing to look at. And some prospects doing good. You know, like you said, Kyle Schwarber had a good game. I was reading that Chris Bryant was reading the ball really well, that he was, you know, at the plate. He was seeing pitches and taking his time.
I know his first at-bat, he earned a walk. I know he went 0 for 2, but I did see that he was reading the ball better. And, I mean, I don't care if he goes 0 for 2 in spring training, but if, you know, you can see those strides that he's making of reading the pitches better and seeing the ball better, I mean, that's what you want to see. And another
exactly.
thing, I think I told you about this today, Javier Baez. I mean, I feel like we're talking Cubs prospects, but I mean, this is what I saw today. This is what I know. Javier Baez today went, at certain points, he shortened up his swing a little. I know he was down 0-2 in the count, and shortened up his swing on the 0-2 pitch, got an out by flying out. But, I mean, for him to make contact, for him to shorten up the swing, that's another step you want to see. So, I mean, just talking, you know, baseball and points and things you want to see, you know, those are two good signs if you're a Cubs fan.
We'll definitely be paying attention to that. Make sure to download the podcast, guys. Check us out. Next Tuesday we'll be coming back to talk NFL free agency and preview a little NCAA college basketball tournaments. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday. All right, thanks for listening.